From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 9th day of September 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. A bit later in the half hour, we'll take up the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. And as we close out the program, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Steve Hilberg at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Along the way, Dave Dickey will be here to update the agricultural news, including these stories. The inflation rate in China has backed off its three-year high set in the month of July, and the U.S. Senate has approved an ag appropriations bill for fiscal 2012. And it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. From the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
On this Friday afternoon, futures in Chicago finished the nearby contract and the wheat down 9¾ cents, or rather down 8¼ cents at $7.01. December at 7.29¾, 8¼ lower for soft red, and July at 7.89½ next year, down 10¼. The hard red July in Kansas City finished at $8.44, down 14¾ cents. Back in Chicago from the CME Group's corn pit, September contract 7.26, up 2¾. December at 7.36½, up 2½, and the March at 7.49¼, up 2½ cents. May corn at 7.55¾, a penny and 3/4 higher. In July futures, $7.60, up 1½ cents. Next year's December, down 2½ at $6.56½. September soybeans, $14.16½. The settlement price up 9¼. November contract, 8½ higher at $14.26¾. January, $14.36¾, 8¼ higher. And the March at $14.42½, up 7¾. July beans, $14.56¾ higher. Next year's November, $13.99½, up 9 cents for the day. Bean meal at 368.70, 320 higher. Bean oil in the September at 58.20, up 38 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the October contract at 118.45, down 37½ cents. September feeders at 133.22½, or 72½ cents higher on a Friday. And the lean hogs at $87.25, finished 45 cents higher. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. October crude oil futures, $87.14 a barrel, down $1.89. Ethanol at $2.76¼. That's a penny and a tenth lower. Natural gas at $3.91¼, down 6¾ cents. And heating oil or diesel fuel, 6 cents lower, $2.98¾. Gold futures at $1,856.40 an ounce, up $2. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 10,954, just about 341 points lower. The dollar at 77.17, up 0.93. The CRB index at 334.24, down 5.6 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Yet scattered showers. It'll be cloudy. A high near 71 degrees, east winds at about 6 miles an hour. Chance of precip this afternoon remains at 50%. Tonight, scattered showers in the area, cloudy, a low of 57 degrees. Calm winds, chance of precip at 30%. Saturday, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a high near 76. Calm winds again, becoming easterly at 5 miles an hour, and the chance of precip at 40% tomorrow. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 57. East winds at about 5. It'll be calm. And Sunday, partly sunny skies, a high near 80 degrees, light northwest wind. Sunday night, partly cloudy, a low of 59. On Monday, sunny skies, a high of 85 degrees. Monday night, mostly clear and a low of 64. By the time we get to Tuesday of next week, a chance of showers, a few thunderstorms. It'll be mostly sunny, a high of 87 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 53. Wednesday, sunny and 73. Wednesday night, cloudy and 51. And on Thursday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 70 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Happy Friday, Todd.
Happy Friday. It has been a very busy week, and by the time we get to Monday morning next week, it'll be the start of another very busy week. USDA Report Day, 7:30 a.m. Central Time. We'll release the latest crop production and WASDE figures. What do you think they'll show?
Well, I think the trade was thinking before the pre-estimates came out this week, Todd, that the trade was going to be in the mindset, okay, supplies are going to be down, demand is not going to be down as much, but I think the pre-estimates shifted that quite a bit. And what I mean by that is when I went down the range of estimates, about 83% of the analysts that were polled put the crop for the corn at 12.7 billion or lower. But only about 35% of those same analysts took their carryover levels down below 600 million bushels. And so what started the week out, I think, was the idea that the corn supplies were going to be tight. USDA is going to show that between a cut maybe in harvested acres and also another cut in yield. But then as the pre-report estimates came out, we started to think more as a trade that maybe the demand was going to be cut almost as much, and we will end up with not much of a reduction in carryover. So that put a lot more pressure on the beans and the wheat to perform, and obviously the beans and the wheat were not there to carry the ball. They were struggling themselves, and so that's kind of how we are walking into this report from a micro fundamental supply-demand standpoint. The other thing that maybe needs to be mentioned is the trade's priced in a lot of bearishness in wheat. We had a bad week fundamentally for wheat, not to mention that we're looking at a big jump in global ending stocks. The trade is, that is, but we also saw Kazakhstan export to Egypt. We saw India open their door to 2 million tons of wheat. We saw France increase their production. And probably in the outside markets going into the report, some of the commodity trading funds are going to have to deal with the dollar. If the dollar keeps rallying, it's probably going to signal some sell signals and probably have them start thinking about diversifying out, selling out of their long positions as we get closer to the end of the month, which is also the end of the quarter.
Okay, so go back through it very quickly for me and reiterate what you think a neutral report would look like. I think it starts with a 12.7 billion bushel crop. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm going to go carryover because that's where the real distinction comes in. Everybody can come in with a low yield, but if they don't cut demand and they cut demand off at the legs, then it really doesn't matter. So I'm going to say a bullish report for corn would be 600 million or less. A bullish report for beans would be 125 million or less. Bearish would be 650 or more for corn. Bearish for beans would be 150 or more.
Okay. Now, that gives us a place to start at on Monday morning. Thank you for doing that. Producers that you've talked to telling you much about their yields as they get into the field early?
Yeah, and it's a lot more variable than even I was expecting and they were expecting. I heard one guy tell me not too far from Chrisman, Illinois, I'm probably going to see yields that have 100 bushels and I'm probably going to see yields of 200 bushels. For us over here in Indiana and probably more eastern Illinois area, we're actually going to start cutting beans faster, and that's probably going to start to kick into gear more next week. But from what I'm hearing in the Roanoke, Illinois area and the Jacksonville area, probably down from last year, down hard in some instances, 150s, 140s, but there's also some 170s and some 180s as well. So I think some of the test plot numbers that have been coming back have also been surprisingly good as well. I talked to Chicago and some of the guys up at EFG this afternoon about the exact same thing and asked what they had been hearing, and they had been hearing the same thing, that pleasant surprise in the early yields are what they're probably hearing the most of. There's real train wrecks out there, but not as many as maybe some were thinking. So maybe that caught the attention and caught the ear of the corn market as well this week.
Yeah, my brother Tim called me at noon and wanted to talk, and they had been in the field. And, of course, I asked him about yields. He said they were better than they expected, and they expected pretty good yields there in Logan County. They did manage to catch a few good rains along the way. And so their yields were even better than he thought they might be for the most part, but it's still early. We'll see what happens with their yields and with those across the Midwest. I'm getting a kick, actually, and so is Tim, out of watching the heat map that AgWeb has up with the yields on their site. Have you watched that, where the farmers have been putting in those yields?
No, I have not. No.
Oh, it's an interesting little... They've got a map up of the United States, and farmers from around the U.S. can put their own yields in, and then they do some averaging and give you a statewide average for everything that's been put in. Of course, there's not all that much that's been put in, but there are yields as low as 18 bushels over a huge amount in Kansas or Omaha or something like that. And I just can't imagine harvesting corn at 18 bushels to the acre, but it happened. And then there are some good yields out there, too, in Illinois and Iowa. It's kind of an interesting thing to watch. So if you haven't hit the Ag website, you can do that. One of the things, and this is one of the reasons I mentioned it, is we also post our Commodity Week program into AgWeb now. And if you haven't listened to it online, but you actually visit AgWeb fairly often, you'll see it there. And we're happy about that. And that drives me to one other place, Mike. I sent you a link earlier to our brand new mobile website from WILL. It's at not willag.org, but M, that's as mobile, m.willag.org. And it's open to the public, well, right now and today. You got an early look at it just before we went on the air. What'd you think?
Very snappy, and I love the fact that it's so easy to use, and it downloads. You know, I'm in the office with the mobile phone. I don't get the best cell reception with all the computers and the other phones around, but it downloaded very, very quickly, even in the office. So I really enjoyed it, and I really like the simplicity of it, where you just have four big speakers or five big speakers just to go ahead and click on whichever one of the market commentaries that you want to listen to. And the download speeds are very, very fast. I was very impressed with that.
Well, thank you much. We worked pretty hard on it, trying to make sure that it was right. We put it in place, actually, for a reason, starting next week, Mike, on our home radio station, not the affiliate radio stations, but the home radio station. If you listen to us on AM 580 WILL, we probably will disappear from your dial. We won't be off the air, but we'll be on very low power as they manage to do some upgrade and maintenance on our guide wires. It's going to take about 2 weeks. We'll be off at about 100 watts. That should get us outside of the county, but not by much in Champaign County. And when you're used to covering 132 counties, one county to three counties is not that big of an area. And we thought it was important to make sure that while producers were in the field, as long as they had a smartphone with them, that they'd be able to get to our audio. You can check it out at m.willag.org. We expect that those files will be updated not long after we normally would be on the air, so we put 9:05, 10:05, and 3:05 on those files so that you can listen to the pre-opening market report, the opening market report, and closing market report. Commodity Week is there as well. Again, that's not at willag.org, but m.willag.org, and we hope that people will take time to use that program. Actually, we're pretty proud of it at this point, and we hope that people like it and they can use it. And while we're gone, that they'll be able to listen to us. That'll be particularly important to the south of us. We do have affiliates. If you're north of us, you can tune to WGFA or to WHPO. If you're to the west of us, WHOW out of Clinton. GFA's in Watsika, HPO's in Hoopston. WKEI in Kewaunee carries us. Those are all simulcasts for the closing market report. Commodity Week airs on many of those stations, too. And then WTIM out of Taylorville there in Christian County picks up the program. They tape delay it during drive time. I believe it runs at 5:30 there. So hopefully people will be able to get our programming. I know that it's important at this time of the year that they'll be able to get and listen to, you know, folks like you, Mike, and that they get the best information they possibly can on marketing their corn and soybean crops.
Well, it's going to be a pretty interesting 30 days between the September report and the October report. I think there's a lot in the trade, a lot of people, including myself, Todd, that are looking to the beans for some leadership after this report, especially with the dry weather still being forecasted and some return to heat. So that's one of the key things the next week. If we're going to take that corn back up to those old highs and test them, I think we really need the beans on our side this time around.
Do you think beans can do that, or will that be slowed down by the what is expected to be a large crop in South America?
I think if you reverse the dollar thrusters and you see the dollar go back down next week, which it's very, very overbought right now, so I think it could go back down next week, and it's run out of gas here at this stage. But if you see that, the seasonality in beans is pretty good. In 96 and in 2006, we had real nice rallies from mid-September into the later part of the month and even into early October. That's the kind of rally that I would be looking forward to fundamentally if those pods don't get filled out. And that's what a lot of producers are telling me right now, that they're not getting the pods filled out because the rains just haven't come.
Any one final note before I let you go for the day?
That'll do it for me. You have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. Thanks so much, Mike.
Thanks, Todd.
Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Once again, we have a brand new mobile website. You can visit it online off your smartphone at m.willag.org. I'm not quite certain that we put a link on our homepage yet, but I'll bet it's there pretty soon. Again, it's either willag.org for our homepage off your PC or m.willag.org on your smartphone. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment. He'll bring you all the agricultural news for the afternoon.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
In agricultural news, China's inflation rate retreated from a three-year high in August as food price increases moderated. Consumer prices in the world's second-largest economy rose 6.2% over a year earlier, cooling from 6.5% in July. That according to China's National Statistics Bureau. Industrial production also slowed in August, rising 13.5% from the year before, compared with a 14% increase in July. Food prices, which comprise a large share of the consumer price index, climbed 13.4%, down from 14.8% in July. A 29.3% surge in prices for meat and poultry and 12.2% increases for staple grains, however, kept food price increases relatively strong. The Senate Appropriations Committee has approved a $19.78 billion fiscal year 2012 agriculture appropriations bill that provides less discretionary spending than the past 2 years, but left potential controversial amendments for the Senate floor. The bill was passed on a voice vote. Amendments to keep the Food and Drug Administration from approving genetically modified salmon and to stop USDA from cutting back on the use of potatoes and other starchy vegetables in the school lunch program are those that might be offered on the Senate floor if the bill comes there as an independent piece of legislation. McDonald's Corporation's revenue at restaurants open at least 13 months climbed 3.5% in August, led by strength in the U.S. and Europe. The world's biggest hamburger chain says that U.S. customers continued to snap up its McCafe drinks and were drawn to items like its new premium chicken sandwiches. Kroger Company, the biggest U.S. supermarket chain, reported higher quarterly net profit as robust sales eased worries that higher food prices would cause shoppers to reel in spending. Kroger's net income was $280.8 million, or 46 cents per share, for the second quarter ending August 13th, up from $261.6 million, or 41 cents per share a year earlier. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. Just a reminder, next week sometime, probably around the 14th, we'll drop on this radio station, our home station, WILL, to 100 watts. That means we won't get too far outside of the county when we normally cover, 132 counties. That'll take about 2 weeks. We'll be down that low as they retrench the guy wires that hold up our towers. In the mean space, you can visit our mobile website on your smartphone at m.willag.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report. Thanks for your patience. We do appreciate it. Now up next, there are a few folks in the agricultural world thinking about how to best break down the tough corn stalks left in the field. The new BT corn hybrids tend to have very good and tough stalks. It's great for standability, but not so great for planting into next season. Some have been wondering if applying a little N or nitrogen in one form or another might help nature along in breaking down these tough corn stalks. It's too early to tell, thinks Poppy and Fernandez, and too environmentally sensitive to try.
Well, the biggest concern is that we are trying to reduce nitrogen losses to the environment. And the biggest concern that we have is that by applying this nitrogen, especially as UAN, there's a lot of ammonium sulfate being applied. I'm not as concerned as about with ammonium sulfate as I am with UAN in terms of losses as at the time of application. With UAN, we apply that, and that we can have substantial volatilization losses. With ammonium sulfate, the volatilization losses are not as much of a concern, but still, when we are applying nitrogen this early, if it's not, if it doesn't become organic nitrogen and it stays that way, we stand to lose it as well.
Volatilization will cause the nitrogen to escape. It's just too much of an environmental risk until research can be done to see how these applications interact with the soil ecology. There are options for those wanting to break down corn stalks. No-tillers might run a chopper over the field, thanks Fernandez. Others can do a little fall tillage.
Doing tillage would be extremely beneficial because you're not only doing the physical damage to the stalks, but you're also putting it in contact with the soil.
And that soil contact will help to start the degradation process. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. On the phone line, Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Have you got lines there yet?
No.
I didn't think so. But you've got people bringing corn in, right?
The south end of the company, we are seeing a little bit of corn get cut, very little so far. I get up to the north around Piper City, La Hogue, and we're probably 2 weeks away there.
And soybeans?
One load of soybeans, but that was a real short season variety that was just, in essence, cover crop. I think we'll see maybe a couple loads late next week, but very little, just from green to just starting to drop leaves.
And what are your thoughts on cash basis for both corn and beans?
The nearby basis, beans has got a quick shipment premium, and I think we'll see that for a little while until we kind of get the pipeline recharged on that. Corn, it's a good basis by historical standards. As we get into harvest and get it rolling, we might be under a little bit of nearby pressure until we get the crop done and put away.
And what are your bids for the day?
We are at 7:30 on nearby corn and 1401 on soybeans.
When you look to the south at the SIF values, are things weakening?
We've seen some weakening out there. Export sales just aren't real good, and it seems like we keep finding additional supplies of feed wheat to knock us out on corn sales.
An important note. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is Bruce Bostard. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. We'll say so long to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, stay with us or visit us online at willag.org or m.willag.org for the weather.
On this day in agricultural history in 1754, William Bligh was born. He became captain of the English ship Bounty And while sailing to Tahiti to bring back breadfruit trees, the most famous mutiny in history took place. In 1843, a patent was issued for a new hand-cranked ice cream freezer. Nancy Johnson's design added a vertical shaft with curved paddles, reaching nearly to the inside walls. The design quickened the freezing process. In 1890, Harland Sanders was born near Henryville, Indiana. He was, of course, better known as Colonel Sanders, founder of the Kentucky Fried Chicken fast food restaurant chain. In 1917, Edward Johnson died, an American electrical engineer and inventor. He once served as vice president of Thomas Edison's Edison Electric Light Company, but he may be best known for creating the first electric lights on a Christmas tree. And in 1995, Orville Redenbacher died. Born on a farm in Brazil, Indiana, he began growing his own popping corn at age 12, and after earning a Bachelor of Sciences degree in agriculture from Purdue University, he developed the popcorn hybrid that made him famous. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. You can always find us online at willag.org, on your smartphone at m.willag.org, or just dial this number, 217-333-3434. On the phone line with us this afternoon to take a look at the weather forecast, Steve Hilberg at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Good afternoon, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And will we have interesting weather in the coming week?
Well, we have interesting weather now, and yeah, some interesting weather in the coming week as well, I think. Currently, we have an upper low that's associated with the remnants of Tropical Storm Lee over the Midwest, and we got bands of rain across the Midwest. Currently, we've had one sitting pretty much along I-55 for most of the morning and early afternoon, and so some of the areas that have been very dry the last 2 months are getting some appreciable rain, and we picked up about a half inch across eastern and central Illinois last night from the rain that moved through. So that's the good news side. The bad news, it's cloudy, but considering how dry it's been, I don't think anybody's complaining too much about that. And then this weekend, we should see a gradual warm-up into early next week as all these systems finally shift eastward. And then another strong cold front coming through about midweek next week. And that's probably been the one that people have been talking about most of all at this point.
And what do you see?
Well, it is going to be a strong cold front, and there definitely is a risk of some frost across a significant portion of the upper Midwest, probably a good part of Minnesota, Wisconsin, lower Michigan, and maybe even northern Illinois and northwestern Iowa. Now, this won't be widespread, and it'll probably be spotty, especially along the southern edges, but definitely looks like some cold air coming in here next week. It will be something that bears watching. That would be probably, we're looking at maybe Thursday morning where we'd have to worry about that, and it's still 5-6 days away, so we'll just have to wait and see.
If it were to come to fruition and there were a frost or a freeze at that point, how early would it be?
Well, for that, for the for the 32 degrees, typically we see that anywhere from about the middle of September, about right now, about the 15th to the 20th. Most of Illinois and Iowa typically doesn't see their first freeze until October, early October, and then obviously progresses later into the month as you go further south. So this would be somewhat early for the northern Midwest, but not by a great deal.
Yeah, and then come back to the nearby tonight, in fact, because it's football season and there'll be a lot of high school teams
right
on the gridiron who will be able to play in dry weather this evening.
Well, it's really interesting. If you're about 25 miles either side of Interstate 55 in Illinois, you're likely to have to deal with some rain tonight and also a little bit south of I-70. But outside of those areas, you might get sprinkled on, but I think most of the night should be dry. Later on tonight, as this whole thing shifts eastward, some of those showers over the 55 area may move over eastern Illinois, but by that time, most games should be over. whatever.
All right. Thanks so much, Steve.
All right, Todd.
That's Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Don't forget to visit our website at willag.org. We'll post Commodity Week there by about 6 p.m. this evening. Jackie Bakes and Dan Zwicker and Kurt Kimmel in studio. Jerry Goodell is our guest. Commodity Week, our weekly look at what happened in the world and agricultural markets. It'll also be on our smartphone app, website at m.willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.